Hello.
Yes, sir.
Anything late to report? Are you still handling the odds and ends?
We stonewalled it today on the Watergate thing. That's got into the grand jury thing, and we handled it the way we discussed. I took Dash on a little bit today, and
that's all right. I was glad to see Baker apparently did a little.
Right. The whole committee did. And
the whole committee did?
Well, I mean, they did in the meeting, according to Corlogus, the private meeting. But
yeah.
I was asked about it, and I called it bad form, and I thought it was unusual that this was the first step that the committee took.
Right.
So I shifted it over in that direction. They asked whether or not Dean would appear before the grand jury, and then I moved on the cooperation thing that we had cooperated before with members of the White House staff, before the grand jury, cooperated with the FBI, cooperated with all law enforcement agencies, and we will in the future. The president has made that clear in response to John Dean. That's not a matter before us, and we, of course, would assess that as it came before us. But I want to underpin that comment by saying that we have cooperated. The president has made it clear that we will cooperate in the future, and there will be no question about that. So I went
That's
to the
good.
Briefing on
well
that.
Handled.
And then of course, the Cambodian legal thing is building very rapidly. I had to take about 15 or 20 minutes on that.
Where the legal right to bomb?
Yes, sir. That is something that...
You anticipated that all along.
Right. We're going to have to face in some intensity on Thursday. Today, I simply pointed out reminded them that under Article 20 of the agreement, the North Vietnamese forces were required to withdraw from Cambodia. They have not. That the communist forces are launching an offensive in Cambodia, and that we are responding to the Cambodian government's request to provide air support. I said they have failed. The communist forces have failed to accept the unilateral ceasefire, which was called by the Cambodian government.
That's very good.
We're responding in that regard. So they said, is there any time limit and what is the legal authority? And I said, I'm not prepared to be more specific at this time other than to remind you with this observation that North Vietnamese have not withdrawn their forces and that the communist forces in Cambodia are not meeting the ceasefire. The United States will adhere to the ceasefire in Cambodia when one is in effect. So.
Take exactly the same line tomorrow. I think there's nothing else we can do on it, I think, Ron. At this point, that's the deal.
So that was really the thrust of the briefing today. There was played well, the veto.
Mm-hmm.
I think he hit that effectively.
Right. Good. I think incidentally...
Your comments incidentally on Tanaka coming are playing fine.
Yeah. Well, that little guy had to grab me. I didn't mind.
No, that worked.
He is coming. We're working on it.
Right.
And it gets a good place with the Japanese papers and so forth and so on. You know, I'm inclined to think on, incidentally, on Watergate and the rest that I don't think... I don't agree with those that I think you don't either. We should try to dash out with something tomorrow or something, you know, in reaction to McCord and the rest. He's gonna, you know, name people and so forth. I don't think it's the right thing to do. And you know, I talked to Bill Rogers, for example.
Uh-huh.
He totally disagrees with the idea that if we do anything, that I should get out. You know, John Ehrlichman's recommendation, well, it was his recommendation, but he's urging that what I ought to do, that if we did say that the people at the White House were going for the grand jury, that I should go on primetime television and announce it. And Rogers says, you'd be out of your damn mind. He says, don't ever do that. He says, if you do it, he says, Ziegler should announce it. He says, you can't put the president in the position of being the defendant here. You're not the defendant. But that's, I don't know, what's your view? Like the idea, and he says if we're going to cooperate, he says, and we're taking a new step, he says, keep it at your level at this even now.
I'm inclined to think that I was mulling over this afternoon the possibility that on the tail end of Thursday night, you know, might be the time to address this thing. But
no.
I don't think so.
Jimmy.
No. Now, my feeling is...
I thought of that, too, but it just won't fit. It doesn't fit into it. It'll
and my feeling is that if you address it from directly from your standpoint...
That's right.
Then that immediately puts you on the defensive.
That's right.
And I think we've got Secretary Rogers on that.
He feels very strongly about it. He said, don't... He says, look, don't... And, of course, he's here in the middle of this town and everything. He says... Of course, it's a story. It'll be a continuing story. But he said, you're just going to escalate it to a hell of a lot bigger story. And he says, it's not to our interest. He says, that story like this, you just keep fending it off as best you can. At this point, he says, don't have the president day there and say that and the other thing, you know, that I have called upon. And I know the idea that you have of getting ahead of everything and that we're both talking about. He likes the idea of getting ahead.
Mm-hmm.
He says, don't you do it.
Don't right.
Have the president do it. He said, have it done on your behalf.
Says, well, you think back to the Sherman Adams days and also the Truman days.
And Johnson's days.
Right. The president never addressed that.
Johnson never addressed the Bobby Baker thing, and he never addressed the Jenkins thing. Never.
That's right.
Never said a damn word.
That's right.
And Eisenhower never said a word about Adams, except that he had confidence in him and that he was an indispensable man. Truman, of course, failed, but he would never address the subject. He says, all a red herring.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying that. See, I'm not taking that line. I think that's a very important distinction. We'll cooperate, which is from what Truman said. Now, eventually, as you said last night in the plane, we may come to the place where we have to fight the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we will. That's another line, too.
That's the third option, right? That is an option.
But you see what I mean? If you put something on the end of that, if you were to put that before 60 million people, you're going to hit about 40 million that aren't that worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
You get my point?
I agree. Having said that, I am inclined still to believe that at this moment, that anticipating... probably will unfold Friday and after that. I am convinced that, as I mentioned to you in Florida, I'm convinced that Hunt will cave. I'm convinced that McCord will cave. I don't know about the Cubans. I don't know that they're that much of a factor.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should anticipate and fully expect that the information, if whatever they have, that
will have to be answered.
Will become known. Now,
right.
The question is,
and the thing
does
is,
that become...
Say, the way I would do that is to say, since it is known, the people that have been named will appear before the grand jury.
Right. In other words...
That's the way I'd handle it. Handle it in a legal way. I mean, at this moment, I was sort of leaning the other one, but the more I think about it, we don't have a special prosecutor. You can't find one, and we've run it out.
The case, it seems to me that sometime this week, at least following today's briefing, and I will be quite frank with you, the questions were not so much hostile. It's moved off of that for some reason, but they were very intense. And it seems to me that if the decision is that we will not, and I don't quarrel with that decision, but if the decision is that we will not in our best interest to proceed with the initiative to
have a special prosecutor
and something of that sort, the president should very definitely, and I could do this,
you could
develop an operative statement here this week which throws the thrust to the Ervin Committee and to the grand jury.
Well, the operative statement, just to give you a thought, would be that in view of the charges that have been made, that every member of the White House staff who has been named so forth has volunteered to appear, and they will appear before the grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
And that as far as the executive privilege, as far as this matter is concerned, it does not ride.
In relation to the grand jury.
Because it relates to a matter that there was no conversation on, so I knew nothing about it. So just let her go. What about the Ervin Committee? No, that's not the proper forum. This is a this is a criminal charge. It's been leveled. The grand jury is a proper form. And then Stonewall Urban Committee.
Right.
So that's the way I would do that.
Make the point that we have said we would cooperate.
Well, this way, the new thing is that you said that the people in the White House staff will go before the grand jury.
That's right. Period. But it seems that we need, from the standpoint of the presidency, because sense in the briefings, and I feel it's my responsibility to communicate this.
Sure.
I can sense in the briefings that that the questioning is becoming, and you can feel this as the questions come, that it is relating itself more and more, even though we said cooperation today,
just
even though
to
we continue to repeat that,
to cover up.
It seems to be flowing more to the fact that we are saying that because we have something to hide. And therefore, I think that a good, strong statement
of
this is the president's position.
Action.
That's correct.
I get your point.
The Dean report was done. We have confidence in Dean.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new situation that has arisen in relation to McCord.
That's right. That's right.
And secondly, because of that new situation, the president has instructed that every member of the White House staff
That's right.
prepared to appear before the grand jury.
Rather than instruct, I think we can put them in a little bit better position. They have all volunteered. The president has authorized them to appear. All appear, and there's no executive privilege on that point.
Right.
That's a pretty strong statement.
And the fact that executive privilege on that point.
That's right.
And the fact that the grand jury in our system, and I seem to get a response from the press like I did today. I said that these matters, the pursuit of an investigation of matters such as this, must proceed in an orderly and judicious manner.
Right.
And handling
that line is what we can do, and that's where the grand jury line you see,
right.
rather than the other. We'll be prepared at the proper time, but we don't want to be rushed into something like, even somebody, maybe we should even do the announcement on tonight. Well, what the hell? You've got to.
The
Vietnam thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't let that ride. I mean, and let this thing override that. The hell with it.
No, I agree with that. Absolutely.
Particularly with what we're going to add to it.
Right.
Okay, Ron.
Okay,
fine.
Sir. Right.